It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. We're so glad that you're here. It's a good time to come and worship. Great to have a choir back here behind me for the first time in, 18 months, 19 months? A long time. And some of them have gotten prettier here. And others we just won't mention.
You don't have to look at me when you
say that. Okay, it's good to be here. We're glad you're here. Whether you're in the sanctuary, whether you're listening in the parking lot, whether you're listening later on the webcast, we're glad that you're worshiping with us. It's always good to talk to people from time to time. And this week I was talking with someone, and it was Tuesday night. And they said, we were listening to the webcast when you called. And I thought, well, that is great. That is great. Let's pray together. Lord, it's good to be in your house. We just thank you for all the blessings that we have. We thank you for your love and your care. Thank you for the many, many things you've done for us. Now, Lord, we just are so glad that the Holy Spirit is here to guide and direct, to speak. Lord, you know the hearts of those that are gathered in this room, those that are listening out in the parking lot, those that might be listening later in the week on the webcast. Lord, I thank you that the same Holy Spirit that's here in this room is the same Holy Spirit that's out in a car or a truck or coming through a computer in a home or an office or a nursing home or wherever. And Lord, may your presence and your power and your glory be felt as you minister to our needs and as we worship and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you all this morning. And we are going to be doing
our hymn sing this morning. And so if you would please, let's all stand together. We're going to sing page 146. And Jeff's going to have it up on the board for us. Oh, how he loves you and me. Both verses as we stand and sing together, please. I'm going to have some announcements for you to follow along with this morning. First, I want to talk about the beautiful flowers in up in front here. These flowers are placed in honor of Jerry and Carol Kelly at wedding anniversary. And how about that, Jerry? You made another one, didn't you, son? Well, it says here from Carol's cousin, so you got a bunch of them. Just pick one, Carol. I don't know. But anyway, that's what we've got here. Congratulations to you for sure. And that's great. Wonderful. We will have quarterly conference today at the end of service. You need to be aware of that and be here for us. Vacation Bible School will be August the 7th. We'll have a one-day school, and we'll have a full day of it. And so it's August the 7th. Our homecoming will be Sunday, August the 15th. Sunday, August the 15th. Tony, I promise you we'll have a meal there afterwards. How's that? Will everybody bring your food and we'll have a homecoming meal. Also, I've got some news for you that our visiting minister, our pastor, will be Reverend Terry Burris. Terry, who was our formal pastor, will be here preaching for us on August the 15th. And so let's all be here for homecoming. Let's not forget Wednesday night service. Wednesday night service is still going on. And I've had to miss a couple myself, and I'm probably going to have to get a visitor's card to get in. But I was visiting, but I have been traveling a little bit. But anyway, it's good for me to get back Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to Pastor Ed's teaching, and he does a wonderful job. You all need to be here. Number two, several things that we remember. The website today is going to be a little bit late getting set up today, our website. So if you start looking or listening for the website, need to plan about 2 o'clock or a little thereafter for that. So, also, choir practice next Sunday. So, pretty good looking crowd here anyway, isn't it, though? I mean, you know? Yeah, I'm very, very pleased. We've got a lot more of you that are not up here yet, that need to be up here yet. So be praying about that, always, okay? And we need you here, And so you know who you are, and I've talked to you already, so we need you in place. And those of you that would just like to be part of the choir and want to be here to do that, we'd love to have you here as well. So come and be with us next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Be there. That's all the announcements I have at this particular time. Have I forgotten anything, or anybody have anything you want to add? Okay, thank you. Sign up is on board. So if you want to teach and you want to help, right? Aaron, that's for teachers, right? Okay. And she's going to need a lot of help. So, and let me encourage you again about Bible school. It's one of the most fulfilling things you'll ever do in church work, is to help guide the path of a young child or a young person. Do that. I'm telling you, it's very helpful. So just be here and help out and do that. Okay? Anybody else? Any questions? All right. Let's go to our prayer requests. We have several this morning that we have many, actually, that we need to lift up before the Lord that I have. Let's remember Angela Frick. And Angela is experiencing some very serious conditions health-wise. And Carol, I think I'm all right to say that they have they diagnosed cancer with her?
Well, they say it's, Mom said, as far as the girls know, it's just an
undetermined. And Pastor, I know you talked to them and prayed with them, and you have an understanding it is cancer possible. So anyway, it's a serious situation. We need to pray, lift her up before the Lord. Let's do that. Let's continue to remember Jackson Keplinger. He's battling that COVID, but he's battling it very well. Yes, Lord.
He's a lot better.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Him and Jack Brown.
Okay. And let's remember Adon Hartzell. He continues to get better. I talked to Grant, and I believe, Rita, he is doing some better, right?
Aaron's here.
Is he here?
Yep, that's right.
Well, there he is. Hey, buddy. Good to see you. Good to see you. There you go. I didn't miss you. You had your head down at the time. I missed you. But it's so good to see you back. All right. Let's continue to pray for McCord. McCord's got a surgery coming up with his eye July the 28th. Let's continue to pray for McCord and lift him up in prayer. Let's remember Pamela. Pamela's here this morning, and she's here. She's playing sick and hurt this morning, aren't you, Pam? And with the crutches, she's twisted her knee, and she's having some trouble with that. So let's lift her up. Let's pray for Miss Nail. Miss Nail is coming back from
coming home on Tuesday.
Okay, so go ahead, Kathy.
Pray for she's a little apprehensive about coming home, but talk with everybody. It's the best right now. It's the best thing for her. So she has some fears that she might fall again, because the last time she was home, she fell. So if y'all would just pray her through that and call her and encourage her, and we want to get her home where she can be comfortable and enjoy life again. So we're excited about bringing her home. We're also a little scared too.
Okay, understand. Let's pray for Shirley Edwards. Shirley is still dealing with some issues, with some blood counts and some issues that in her life. So let's pray for Shirley. Continue to pray for her. She's here this morning, and Shirley, we're going to continue to pray for you that God's going to give you healing for your body. Pray for you Let's remember Jill Cowens, and her, if she has COVID, let's remember her as well.
That's my sister.
Yes, your sister. That's right. I'm sorry. I should have made that clear.
C-O-W-L-E-S.
Okay. Anyone else that need to lift up? Oh, remember Emily Snyder. I had her on another sheet here. Emily Snyder is going to be having gallbladder surgery, right?
Thursday.
All right. Anyone else this morning
that we need to lift?
Unspoken. Okay. Kathy, okay. We'll do it. Anyone else? Yes, Chris. I'm sorry. Todd Coble, okay. Okay. Anyone else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, and we come to you a needy group of people. We need, Lord, your love and your touch, which we always have. But you did ask us, Lord, to come to you and ask. But now, Lord, before I ask you for anything, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, for the blessings you've already given us. Blessings beyond count. I couldn't count them. But, Lord, we do thank you for your love and for your caring. But now, Lord, we ask your blessings upon our service today, and it's so good, Lord, to have our choir back. And, Lord, we pray a special blessing upon them as they will participate, and Lord, and as we work together with worship today with our choir. Thank you for our pastor. We lift him up to you as well and pray for him today. And then, Lord, there are those that we have been asked specifically to pray for. I want to lift their names up before you today because, Lord, you've said be specific with our needs. I pray for Angela Frick, Lord, and Lord, the condition she has, Lord, I know it's serious. And Lord, you know all about it. And Lord, we pray that you would touch her body. We thank you, Lord, for the good news we've heard of Jackson Keplinger, that he's doing better with the COVID. And Lalandon, it's good to see him in church this morning, and praise God for that. We pray for him. But now, Lord, we lift up McCord. We lift up McCord to you, Lord, as the surgery is approaching on the 28th of his eye. We pray, Lord, it be your will, Lord, that you would restore his sight to a normal degree of health. We pray for Pamela, Lord, as she is here today, Lord, when she has her twisted knee and she fell and have a problem, Lord, we pray that you would give touch and healing to her body. Lord, we pray for Miss Nell and the family as Miss Nell comes home on Tuesday. We pray for the family as they minister to her, and they are the caregivers to her, and we pray for them. We pray for Jack Brown, Laura's nephew that is in the hospital. We pray for him. We pray for Jill Cowens as she is battling COVID. We pray for her. And for Miss Shirley Edwards, Lord, as she's dealing with the blood issues, we pray for her. We lift her up to you. And then Emily Snyder, as her gallbladder is approaching, we pray for her. And then the Todd Coble family. We pray for that family who've lost a loved one. And Lord, these many blessings, Lord, and many things we ask, Lord, for you, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we're so glad to know that you're able. Oh, you're able, Lord. You're an awesome God, and we thank you for that. Thank you for the many blessings. Now, as we go forward in this service today, we'll be very, very careful to give you all the glory for all these blessings, I pray in your name. Amen. I get to go over here now, and these lovely people here are going to sing. Isn't that wonderful? We had rehearsal, and I said, it's time for us to sing, and God has blessed us. I'm glad to see this number behind me today, and I better move this over here. I'll get organized one of these days. I don't know when that's going to be, but I'm so thankful that the choir is going to sing, and I picked out a song that I couldn't think of one any more appropriate than Let's Just Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the fact that they're here. And we're able to stand and sing. And Pastor, I believe it is 18 or 19 months now. And that's a long time, but God's blessed us. Let's just praise the Lord for it. All right, Maestro. do.
Thank you, choir, so much. I don't know, 15 or 20 years ago, when Pamela's mom was still thinking clearly, she got to where she liked to read those Christian romance novels. And I got where, you know, almost every time I'd go by a Goodwill or a Salvation Army store, I'd stop and see if I couldn't buy her some, you know, used ones. You could get them for 50 cents or three for a dollar if they were having a sale. And I figured if I can spend $2 and make my mom-in-law happy, that was a great deal. And over a period of time, you know, I read some of them. And lately I've read some of Janis Hopkins' books, and she's good. If you've read some of her books, she's good. But I got to noticing in those Christian romance novels, many of them have a theme. And it would go something like this. One or maybe both of the main characters in the book had a shady past. Something they didn't want anybody else to know. It may have been an illegitimate child. It may have been a drunken arrest. It may have been a drug problem, an alcohol problem, or a jail term or something. They didn't want anybody to know. And the book goes along and along, and then the two main characters fall in love, and then all of a sudden, right near the end of the book, the ugly truth pops out. And there's hurt, there's anger, there's separation. But, of course, you know, because of the nature of the book, in the end, there's forgiveness and reconciliation and love wins out. Now, don't anybody raise your hand, but I wonder how many people listening to me this morning, both here and maybe later on the website, have things in your past that you wouldn't want anybody to know. If Jeff Kay up there had some kind of laser-like thing and he could lean over the balcony and hit me right in the forehead or you, and all of a sudden up here on the screen would be my thoughts for the last 10 years.
I do. Don't use it.
My words for the last 10 years. How many of us would be mortified, ashamed? We'd drop our heads and we'd creep out the door. And we'd probably never show our face here again. In the romance novel, the truth never comes out until near the end. But what about in Christianity? What's the picture of the Bible show? Turn with me first to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, the first chapter. And we're going to look at what some of the most amazing and awesome and wonderful, too good to be true news in all the world. Jonah chapter 1, that's really near the end of the Old Testament. It's back there where your pages are stuck together, where you haven't looked at them in a long time. Verse 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Did you catch that? God knows all about the wickedness of the Ninevites. And if you know your Bible history and world history, you know that they were some of the most cruel and evil and ungodly people in the history of that time. The Ninevites were not a nice group of folks. And yet God sent Jonah to preach to them. Now, you know the whole story. He ran, had a little encounter with a fish, and then God gave him the commandment again, and he went. But when did God know of their evil? In the middle of the story? Near the end of the story? No, God knew their evilness at the beginning. And he still sent Jonah. Jonah still went. And God forgave them when they repented. Now, in the romance novel, the evil doesn't come out till later. But in the Bible, God knows the evil and still lovingly sends a messenger to that wicked people. Now, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. And you see, the good news carries right over into the New Testament. That wasn't just a one-time thing, you know, God having pity or love for the Ninevites. That carries right over into the New Testament. Verse 5 of Romans 5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Paul says the Holy Ghost sheds or pours out or disperses God's love in our hearts. God's love poured out upon us. And we're going to see as we look at some other verses, undeserved. Unearned, but God's love poured out upon us. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. What does it mean to be without strength? It means to be helpless, weak, powerless. While we were helpless, Christ died for who? The ungodly. That's us. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And when we were helpless, Christ died for us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that almost too good to be true? That while we couldn't do anything for ourselves, we couldn't help ourselves. You think about a newborn babe. They can't change themselves. They can't feed themselves. They can't walk. They can't crawl. Somebody has to do it all for that newborn babe. Sometimes when somebody is handicapped in some way, others have to care for them. They're helpless. And Paul says, while we were helpless, Christ died for us. Helpless in our sin, God's love was poured out upon us. God's love was poured out upon us in our helplessness. Look at verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That wasn't near the end of the story. That wasn't something that was hidden all along. That was Christ dying for us when we were still sinners. I imagine this scenario. Can you imagine Father God sitting on his throne. Angel Gabriel comes in and says, I know you love that Ed Louder fella. But I've had some angels doing some background checks on him. And when I tell you what he's been up to for the last 40 years, you're not going to love him so much. And God the Father saying to the angel, hey, I knew all about it. I knew every rotten thing he thought, every angry word he said, every unchristlike deed he did, and I still love him. In fact, I loved him from the foundation of the world. Wonderful news. God doesn't sit up in heaven and say, oh, he did that? I didn't know he did that. No, the Heavenly Father knows all about it. Every one of us. I mean, we may have some secrets that we hide from one another. We may have some thoughts that we would be ashamed if they were put on a screen behind me. But our Heavenly Father knows all about them. And he still loves us. He still had the Lord Jesus Christ die on the cross for our sin. Oh, that beautiful story that Jesus told that we call the story of the prodigal son. The Father loved that son when he was living at home. The Father loved that son when he was off in a mess, in sin. And sometimes there may be somebody here, and if you told us you've got a child or a grandchild that's not living for the Lord, and you didn't quit loving them, you hurt for their sin. You hurt for the mess they've made of their life, but you still love them. And the Father loved the Son when he smelled like a pig pen, wearing beggar's clothes. Remember the story. The Father didn't say, okay, son, you stink. You go down to the river and wash off and then get most of that mess off and then come back and take a good smelly bubble bath. And then we'll sit down and talk. No, that boy comes up the road stinking and dirty. And the Father loves him and he runs to him. He puts his arm around him. He kisses him and he says, welcome home, son. Now, there are people that I've known that said, I can't accept the Lord till I clean up my act. Wrong. Accept the Lord and he'll help you clean up the act. You see, once that son came back, the Father said, go get a robe and put it on his, the best robe. Go put shoes on his feet. Go give him a ring of authority, signifying that he's a part of the family again. The Father loved the Son no matter what he was doing. And you know, the Father let Jesus die on the cross for the sins of the whole world, even knowing that some were going to reject him. Is that not sad? And, you know, this is just my thought. I think the Father's going to still love those in hell. He's going to hurt and he's going to be sorrowful that they're there. But he loves us. He loves us. He didn't wait to find out whether we were good or bad to love us. He loved us knowing we were bad. That's such a beautiful, beautiful story. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then look at verse 10. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. In other words, we were enemies against God. We were opposed to God. We were opposed to the things of God. And He drew us in, made us a part of the family, reconciled us to Himself. How wonderful and how marvelous that is. And then look at verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The end result is joy. Joy. There was joy in Nineveh when God sent Jonah and they repented and they were spared. There's joy in our hearts when we know that we can face our Heavenly Father as a child who's loved. And, you know, the Bible tells us there's joy in heaven when one sinner repents. You know, somebody gets saved and heaven has a party. Hey, just think. Now you tell me. You're up there in heaven. Somebody calls you over and says, look down there. There's your grandchild, your great-grandchild, your great-great-grandchild just got saved. Tell me you're not going to dance a jig. You're going to be excited. That great-grandchild was born after I died, but now I'm going to get to meet him in heaven. Hallelujah. Joy because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What wonderful news. We're sinful. And God knows all about it. He's not surprised by some sudden revelation of where we messed up back there in the past. He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. He sends the Holy Spirit to convict us and to draw us to Himself. And He pours out His love upon all who will receive that love. Fantastic. What's that first song we sang? Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. I hope you didn't just sing those words, but you just basked in the love of Jesus. I came in the door, went and grabbed the hymn book. Leonard wouldn't know if I was going to sing. I thought I would. But one of my favorite songs is an old one. And it goes like this. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. That's part of the first verse. And the third verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and poor, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Tremendous, tremendous. Reminder of just how much God loves you and how much God loves me. He knows our hidden secrets and He still loves us. He knows the way we're going to mess up tomorrow and He still loves us. Oh man, He still loves us. And I imagine somewhere, maybe listening on the web or somewhere else as a person that needs to experience that love. You just need to admit that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You need to give your heart and life to the Lord. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior. And would you do that? Would you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you're here in this sanctuary and you've never made Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, I urge you to do that today. I mean, I know hell's bad, but love's better. Don't accept Jesus because you're afraid of hell. Accept Jesus because of God's love. And those of us that are believers, and have, most of us have been believers for decades, just rejoice and praise the Lord for His love. And whether you were an 18-year-old or an 8-year-old or whatever, at some point the love of God reached down and touched you through the Holy Spirit and drew you to Jesus. Thank God for that love. The Bible says, for God is love. Oh, we know He's powerful. God has power, God has knowledge, God has wisdom, but the very essence of His being is love. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment? If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you come right now and share that with me? Greatest thing you could ever do in all of your life is to walk this aisle and say, today I receive the love of Jesus. If you're listening on the web, right where you are in that chair, that car seat, would you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But thank You for loving me. I believe that You died for me. I believe that You rose again, and I confess You as my Lord and Savior. And if You'll do that, I know that He will. Father God, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your wonderful, awesome, too good to be true news that You love us. Sometimes we look into the mirror and we say, I don't see how. But You see us in ways that we don't see ourselves, and You love us. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. And I pray, Father, that there's anyone that's listening to my voice that hasn't experienced that love, that today, they'll give their lives and heart to You. And know the greatest joy you could possibly know. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.